recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. What's going on with the bios, Gary? Something there?
Run them in with you right now, sir.
Thank you. I want to thank Nightstand.com, promo code ADS, for sponsoring this show. And check out TrueCar and TheraWorks, with an X, TheraWorks Relief. Thank you, man. .com as well. We're going to bring in actor, producer, writer, director, Sean Stone. He sounds familiar. Oliver is the name of his dad, so that might give you a clue. He also had a small part in my movie Road Hard as well. So we'll talk about his new project and that and all that as well. We'll bring him in, Matt, in about 10-15 minutes, and we got some business to take care of, Drew, some unfinished business.
Yeah, so I've been studying these three characters.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are the three characters?
Well, I don't know the name of the Gary. Get me the name,
Gary,
of the
this is something we should have.
Yeah.
That you can put on the screen there.
The Bikram yoga guy, whose name was Bikram. His name was like Bikram or something.
Right.
There is Gay Talese. And then there's this guy that used to hang out with Rodney on the Sunset Strip back in the 60s, early 70s it would be.
Yes, who was
a scumbag.
You don't have to, you just got to find the guy from the movie, Gary. Trying to find his name.
And so the Bikram yoga guy is so over the top. It looks like mental illness to me. Like, he's so over the top with the mania. And I don't know what that is almost. But there's
I agree. He's entered a world where he's being accused of rape, and he's explaining that women line up around the block for him to rape them, and they should be paying for his semen $1 million a drop. And for some reason...
That's so nutty.
For some reason, when it enters that world of the just... bizarre when it starts getting
it's
kind of a Don King kind of thing where it's like sleazy promoter guy, whatever, but when it gets into this, it becomes a caricature somehow. I can wrap my mind around
it. It doesn't feel like personality. It feels like some relationship with reality is off, right?
All right, so that's Bikram yoga guy.
So I'm gonna put him well, Gay Talese bothered me because he allowed this guy to voyeur these poor
what did he do,
including he wrote a book because it was a good story. Mm-hmm. And he didn't intervene on this guy who was watching people have sex, including watching somebody murder somebody. And mm-hmm. the guy never did anything.
What's the name of the doc, Matt?
Voyeur.
It's called Voyeur, yeah. It's about a guy who builds his own motel specifically so that he could spy on the people who stay there.
And mm-hmm. and Gay Talese, early on in this career of voyeurism, learns about it and doesn't do anything about it. And they show Gay Talese earlier in his career with his sanctimonious bullshit about having sex with whoever he wants, and that's good and glorious. And he really comes across as just the most sanctimonious narcissistic prick I've ever seen. And I think it's true. I think that's what he is.
But then there's Rodney Bingenheimer's friend.
Who was raping 14-year-olds. So he's got to win. He has to win.
He wins.
He's winner. I'm going to put...
win, play, show.
I'm going to put... the winner is the Rodney guy with the 14-year-old rapes. I'm going to put, believe it or not, place is Bikram because he is accused of some awful actual violence against women, right? He actually laid hands on, allegedly.
Hold on. Let me help Gary. Hey, Gary. I guess if you, like, Googled in, rape allegations...
14-year-old?
No, just runaway.
Oh, yeah.
Band or runaway rock group, girl band rock
Kim
group.
Foley, possibly?
We shouldn't use names if we don't know. You know what I mean? We're going to be accusing people of
no,
stuff.
No, it sounds about right. Well, we'll see a picture.
All right, in any event, he wins.
Yeah, that sounds.
Bikram second, Gay Talese show. Because mm-hmm. even though he was creepy and made me angry and was sanctimonious, he didn't act. He did some awful, unforgivable things, but he didn't violate anybody physically.
I don't know that this guy did. He was accused of it.
I'm just given the way you responded to him, right,
mm-hmm.
and the way he talked, I'm just going to go as accused is enough.
Yeah, that's him. I think we need pictures of him, like more like in his, yeah, in his 60s or newer. Yeah. Yeah, that's him. What's his name?
Kim Foley.
Yeah, that's him. That guy struck me as one of the douchiest dudes ever.
This was a photo finish, though, I must tell you.
Well, so on your Mount Douchemore, Kim's number one.
If half of what he is accused of is true, yes, he's number one.
Yeah, check out some of those allegations, would you there, Gary?
A member of the Runaways definitely accused him of rape.
Okay.
And then the Bikram Yoga guy is I want to give him a little bit of a break because he seems like he has mental illness, but he still gets plays.
Uh-huh.
And then Gay Talese is just makes me angry more than he's creepy beyond belief. And it's unforgivable ethically what he did, but he didn't violate anybody physically.
Okay. So again, Mount Rushmore, let's just review. Jeremy Piven, number one, then some distance, then Kim, then Gay. Then the Bikram Yoga guy.
No. Bikram Yoga and Gear switched.
Switched.
Bikram, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You put Bikram where Washington.
Okay. I don't know what you got against Piven, but let's just move forward. Bill, 29, Boston.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, so I just had a weird medication reaction, and I just want to get kind of your guys' input on it. Mm-hmm. Long story, but essentially I started taking some stuff for bladder control, oxybutynin.
Yeah.
And I've been taking it for about 2.5 weeks, started to feel weird, kind of. But one night I was at a friend's house, had like 2 drinks. I'm a pretty seasoned drinker, so I wasn't drunk, according to my wife and our friends. At some point we were leaving, I don't remember driving home, going to my house.
Hmm.
About an hour of time.
Did you fall down at any point? Were you having trouble, with upright posture or your lightheadedness, anything of that sort?
When I came home, my wife put the kids to bed, and I had kind of fallen asleep on the couch, but that's not out of the ordinary.
Well, you had something called transient global amnesia, it sounds like. Were you a little bit confused afterwards?
Well, so what happened is that eventually we started fighting, and I was, out of control angry.
Yeah.
I don't even know why we started fighting. And there's, almost 2 hours of time I don't remember. It's just, flashing. And I just lashed out at my wife. I started yelling, going crazy. And then I was, at some point trying to leave because I said I was going to kill myself.
Jeez.
Eventually my sister came over and kind of calmed me down. But I was just, the thing was, I was just saying terrible things about my wife, who,
yeah,
like,
but you were, you know, were, in, have, you, did you go to the hospital?
No.
Well, you should, you,
I mean,
should,
I calmed
listen,
down.
Hang on. You should see a neurologist. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. We don't know for sure that this was from the medication. It would be a very rare reaction to that medication, if indeed it had something to do with it. It's a commonly prescribed medication, doesn't usually have side effects like that. It sounds like it was transient global amnesia. One of the weird things about global amnesia is you're sort of encephalopathic when it happens. You can be kind of not yourself at all.
But that's an encephalopathic?
Yeah, meaning your brain's not working right.
Mm-hmm.
You're just biologically not working right, organically not working right. But this did have a little bit of a psychiatric flavor to it. So I would seriously, let's get it properly diagnosed, okay?
Okay. All yeah, right. I mean, I saw a prescriber, psychotherapist. They didn't really think that I have.
You need to see a neurologist. You need to describe the episode. It needs to be explained. I mean, strokes can cause this. Seizures can cause this. A lot of different things can cause this, and it needs proper explanation because we don't know really what this was. It sounds like transient global amnesia. It may have had something to do with the medication, but it may be something very other. It's completely different.
All right, let's do this. Let's blow through these next two calls. And then I'll do a spot, and then we'll bring Sean Stone in.
Oh, I found by the way, let me just say, I found a reference to transient global amnesia from oxybutynin.
Well, there you go.
So it has happened, but it's pretty rare thing.
All right, let's last two here. Brian, 36, Minneapolis. Question about
hey,
the girlfriend?
Hey, true.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yes. Before I ask the question, may I
kiss some collective ass first, very briefly.
I'll limit you to 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll keep it boiled down to a nutshell. First of all, Dr. Drew, I want to say Cracked was the most inspirational thing I've ever read.
Oh, thank you,
It kept me sober for 10-plus years.
Wow, that's cool. Thank you, Brian. It's a big deal for me.
Thank you. I mean, I can read it again and again and again, and I get more out of it every time I read. So thank you for that.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
And also, Dr. Drew, on the Gutfeld show, I want to say you're amazing. It's amazing. It's great.
Yeah, I sort of fit in there, but I'm so moderate. I'm not, you know, I'm not Fox News. I'm not MSNBC. I'm sort of nothing. Mm-hmm. But I do like Greg.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah, I am nothing. And so you've been saying that.
Yeah.
But I sort of fit in with that whole, the concept of that show. It's pretty easy for me to do. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, that's the sense I get. And I feel you're a perfect middle ground there. And it's great to see. And Adam, if I may, a couple of things. First of all, the great Spoudini. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I don't know if you remember or not.
Now we do.
Yeah. Ace, I had a question. As far as The Hammer goes, it's one of my favorite movies in the world. I can watch it I can watch The Hammer again and again and again.
Thanks.
How did you formulate that storyline? Was it something that you had in you, or was it something that kind of developed as it went?
I was thinking about a movie. I was thinking about a movie I could be in. I was thinking about a movie that wasn't, you know, I have a very go for what you know sort of approach, which is to write about stuff you've been involved with, you know, construction, you know, boxing. And I was just driving down Coldwater Canyon, and on my way over the hill or something one day, and it just sort of struck me. I was like, I think I know this story. I feel like I know this story. And but I can't type, and I've never written a movie before. So I just got in touch with my buddy Kevin Hench, who I knew sports, but most importantly,
you're writing.
No. Bright. Super smart. I was like, he's never written a movie. I've never written a movie. I want to hook up with someone who's super smart. And he's super smart. And it just came. But thanks for watching it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's. I swear to Christ, it's the most easy movie to watch.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not watched The Hammer, you can watch it from start to finish. You can engross yourself in the movie, and it is the best hour and a half of your life.
Thanks.
And I'm not even trying to go over and above.
So listen, I'm always humbled because it's never. I can see Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo 2 on cable every third night, and my movie will never show up on cable ever. It's never on.
Right.
So it's awesome. Anyway, Brian, you want to try and determine whether you should break up with your girlfriend?
Yeah. I've been with her since a long time, 2005. She moved into my apartment when I was about 20-ish. She was about 18-ish. And it's been going on for 12-plus years now.
And no marriage. Why no marriage?
No marriage because, in a nutshell, she hates me, and I'm waiting for that day to come where she kind of, you know, has a little bit of stock in me.
A little bit of what?
And I'm waiting, is it stock? Like, hey, does she invest herself in me?
Like she doesn't, she stops hating you?
No, she hates me, but she's got some weird depression issues.
Why would you be with somebody that hates
Brian,
you?
Brian, here's the deal. She's 18, you were 20 or 23 or whatever it is. You're totally different now. She hates you. She's got issues.
No, I mean, I understand. Moving. They want to take care of her and stuff, but I'd get out of there. Wait, before you do TheraWorks Relief, everybody, if you've got muscle cramps, particularly at night, this will stop it. It is a great product. It's available. It's selected CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens. You can go to TheraWorksRelief.com to get it. TheraWorksRelief, TheraWorksRelief.com. Talk to your pharmacist if you have any questions. They're very excited about this because you don't need medication. You can control muscle cramps. Sometimes the people that have had them just uncontrollably, people that work out and get them or people that have them at night spontaneously, this really works. You'll experience relief from muscle cramps. It's a topical foam. It's clinically proven to relieve the cramps. They used it on collegiate athletes and found that their cramping went down, their muscle recovery time went up. And this is a product that's been used for years for infection control. They put it all over babies for, you know, with immune problems and early deliveries for long periods of time. No side effects whatsoever. TheraWorks Relief prevents muscle cramps before they start. Don't need a prescription. Just apply it. It absorbs quickly. It really works. Put it on twice a day. It'll prevent the cramps. Again, experience relief from muscle cramps for yourself.
All right. Career advice from Angie, 43, Michigan. Gary, I'll point at you when it's time to bring Sean Stone in, and we'll see if we can dovetail this perfectly. Go ahead, Angie.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, So as I said, I'm 43. I have an MBA, and I have no idea what I want to do with my life. So I was hoping that you guys might have some advice to give.
When did you get your MBA?
I just graduated with it in 2014.
And what were you doing? Did you take a break between college and...
Yeah. Well, no, I was working... in my professional career consisted mostly of working as an analyst in the casino industry.
Oh, wow.
And
did you like that?
I enjoyed it, but in the casino industry, there's a tendency to kind of just get stuck in there, and you do it forever, and the skills don't transfer well. And I was getting to that point where I either needed to decide to stay in it and be in casino industry for the rest of my life and be moving around from casino to casino
So why did you get the MBA? What were you thinking when you got that?
That I wanted to, two things. I wanted to teach at the community college level or work in corporate America.
Those are gigantically different things, right?
They are.
Yeah. Well, do you have a husband or somebody who can help you shape this?
I helped him get into his career, and now we're at the point where I would just rather follow his career.
Which is what? Which is what?
He works in human resources as a labor relations consultant.
That has nothing to do with what you're interested in.
It's not.
But no.
But I'm saying, I helped him get into his career, and whatever he wants to do or wherever his career takes us as a family, that's what I'm going to do because.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any? Do you have any other talents? I get this entrepreneurial feeling from you. Do you have anything you'd like to do, start, or is there something like that in you, or am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. There's lots of things that I want to do. I do have lots of entrepreneurial stuff. I think about like things all the time, inventions.
You need to
ideas,
do that. I'm using my clairvoyant head. You need to do that. I'm not kidding. You need to figure something out that you really kind of dig, even if it's just making calling cards or something, something creative, something you like, something you're invested in, and then use that MBA to make a business out of it.
You need to also, you just got to start trusting your gut. I'm not saying chase your dreams.
Yes,
I'm saying trust your gut.
Yes.
It's a different thing.
Yes.
Chasing your dreams, I don't recommend. Trusting your gut, which is, hey, I'm a business person. I want to do my own thing. I'm a self-starter. I don't want to work for other people, blah, blah, blah. Just do that. You sound unsure of yourself, and you shouldn't be that way. You should really be thinking about, hey, there's one life. You're halfway into it. Let's have the other half be the way, turn out the way we'd like it to turn out.
But I get this real feeling there's something in you. It's got to come out. Figure it out.
There you go. Sweet spirit. Sean Stone has just entered the studio. I haven't seen him in a while. He was on the set of my movie. Sean has appeared in Any Given Sunday, W, Nixon, Wall Street, Savages, and Roadhard. Poor guy. We'll put it at the end. New movie, Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece. I saw the trailer. It is a nonstop action thrill ride with many people you recognize in it. Many cameos. Goldberg, Danny Trejo, Ron Jeremy. That's Drew's favorite. Good to see you, Sean.
It's good to see you. We missed one cameo. We missed the Hammer.
Oh, the Hammer. What? Oh.
That he was a cameo.
You. We missed you. We should have had the Hammer in this movie.
Had the Hammer. Yeah, boy, second time this has come up today.
We got to have a sequel.
I would be honored.
Fist of Fury.
No one ever asked me to do anything, Drew.
What are you talking about?
My phone never rings. Like, no one ever goes, hey, want to do a movie or make a something or whatever?
I want the Hammer in the sequel.
Yeah, but you stopped saying yes to things a long time ago.
I always say yes to stuff.
You stood out in the corner in North Carolina screaming at me, I'm never going to do this shit again. I will not roll out of bed for less than.
Well, that's with you. That's okay. Not Sean.
It's like Jimmy Woods said. I was asking him about a film I was acting in, and they wanted him for one day. And he's like, well, if I say yes to that, then I have to say yes to everyone else that asked me for one day of work.
Jimmy Woods. My God, this man has the most entertaining tweets I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know. I'm curious. Well, you're inside. You understand how Hollywood works.
I don't, actually. I'm trying to figure it out myself.
it's a weird thing. But, okay. James Woods, is he retired from acting? Has he been blackballed because all the crazy, you know, anti-Hillary tweets? Or, like, what would be the explanation?
He's more popular than ever. I think he could actually get a movie financed. But, no, I think he picks and chooses what he wants to do. He's a gambler. You know that. He's big into gambling. He's going to the World Series this weekend, actually.
Oh, no. Of poker.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Oh, boy. So, Sean, what a crazy, interesting life you've led. Like, I've never met your dad. Maybe I met him once. I can't remember. I don't claim to know your dad. I've found that his movies were some of the most interesting movies I'd ever seen as I was coming up in the 80s and 90s and beyond. I always said this. There are plenty of guys who make movies, plenty of guys who make good movies. But, like, when I saw The Doors in the movie theater in 1992 or whenever that was, when I saw The Doors, I went home and then I thought about it for, like, the next week. And it stuck with me. You know, you see Star Wars and you leave and you go, oh, that's a good movie. And then you start thinking about something else. Like,
Not the old Star Wars, but yeah, I know what you mean.
It kind of it hung with me, one of the many Oliver Stone movies. And Drew, I never even told you this. I actually, after seeing that movie, read a book.
What? Was it like a coloring book?
No, it was Nobody Here Gets Out Alive.
Oh, wow. Did you read it?
I read the entire book, and I've never even read a book. Your dad got me interested in The Doors. And that's now, but your dad also strikes me as an insanely intense person as well, and could be, you know, a pretty double-edged sword to grow up with, yes?
Yeah, intimidating. I think that's the right word. I certainly had a healthy fear of him as a child.
We were complaining earlier in the week that the kids don't have enough of that.
Right? Well, there's not many men anymore. The testosterone levels have dropped. That's part of what the theme of the movie, The Fear of the Fist, is about. The testosterone levels dropping over the last 30 years. And I tend to, I don't know, I see that in a sense of there's a masculinity that kind of is missing from a lot of men now. My dad didn't lack that at all. He probably had too much.
So this is the response to In 50 Years Will It Be Chicks?
Oh, yeah, that's my book. We should make a movie about that. Well, you tapped into something. I did tap into it. You know, you can kind of go, I wrote a book 8 years ago called In 50 Years Will All Be Chicks, and you look at it and you go, oh, that's funny. And then you read it and you go, hey, some of that stuff's happening. And it didn't take 50 years. And then there's another part of you that goes, this jack-off comedian's trying to make a buck writing a book. True. But something made me think about it. I could have named my book anything.
Yeah.
And I named it In 50 Years Will All Be Chicks. And something's going on. And we are under this constant pressure to have women and men sort of meld into one unit. And it's not going to be a good thing.
It's a cyborg. I don't even know if it will be chicks. I think chicks will be, like, more masculine in a sense. We see that too. And men becoming more feminine, you'll end up with a cyborg culture of just sort of we call it in the movie Lady Boy Bok Choy. But basically,
that's funny.
It's just it's kind of blending it together. That on one level, psychically, I understand. Yes, we have to tap in. I mean, from a psychoanalytic perspective, right? You're supposed to tap in as a man to your feminine anima, right? And the female has to tap into her male animus and find that harmony internally. But you see it almost too much, and a lot of it's chemically driven, it feels, in terms of food and the things that we're imbibing in our bodies, that's literally taking us away from our natural biochemical structure.
Well, our biochemistry will follow our behavior too a little bit. Like, if you stop working out, if you start, your testosterone drops, and if you stop sort of evoking leadership roles or being sexually stimulated, testosterone drops. So there's things you can do that
to activate it.
And then as we drop, our body changes, and then it drops some more. And so it's very much in what we're doing today.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well,
too much tweeting.
We've decided that all the characteristics that were sort of built into males were negative.
They call it toxic masculinity.
It's just, or he's aggressive. The notion of just being a male is sort of a strike one, and then, you know, white and heterosexual, strike two and strike three. So
let's talk about Father's Day and Knight's Dad. How about that? Let's do that for a second. Dad, because he's has toxic masculinity, perhaps he has a mess of cords. He's a messy dude. We'll help him organize. You can do it with Nightstand, NYTSTND. It's the best-selling quad dock that charges everything Apple. And they've got other stuff. They've got stuff they have over 20 different models, from 2 to 10 devices per dock. You can charge iPhones, iPads, Apple Watches, all together. It's beautifully crafted. It was started by a young entrepreneur couple here in America. It's not a Chinese import. It's made in America. If you've got an iPhone 8 or an iPhone X, Nightstand has all of your wireless solutions. Android solutions available, too. So it's Androids, Apple, wireless, NYTSTND. Over 20 different models, 2 to 10 devices, something you want to do. Right, Matt?
Take advantage of Adam and Dr. Drew's exclusive Prepare for Father's Day sale. For our listeners only, get 15% off any order over $80 by using the promo code ADS at checkout. Go to nightstand.com, NYTSTND.com, and get that perfect gift.
By the way, you can go to furyofthefistmovie.com and find out show times and where it's available in a city near you, and on demand as well. So, Sean, this process of writing, producing, directing, acting in, funding, making a movie like this is so all-encompassing.
I didn't direct this one, but I did everything else you mentioned.
Oh, okay, yeah. Tell us how long the shoot was, how long it was in the pipeline. I mean, some of these movies are years in the making.
Oh, every movie is years in the making, but some are more years than others. Right. In this case, we wrote the original script in 2011, wrote a sequel in 2012, came back and decided to do the original in 2015, got a cast together. I mean, we had crazy situations. Roddy Piper, the WWF star, sure, who was going to play one of the lead characters, he passed away the month of our shoot. Mm-hmm. He was all lined up. He was a good friend. It was really sad to hear that. So we lost him, and then other people were trying to cast. One of them was in jail. Another one couldn't get across the border into America legally. He'd basically been deported. Another one quit. Another actor quit after the first scene he shot. He decided he didn't like the role and walked off.
Oh, my God. Who was that? Wow.
I can't say who it was, but he basically played the character of Okinawa Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Who's a very funny character. So, look, the film itself was... Yeah, it was tough, Matt. 17-day shoot, every day was
17
action.
Days.
I heard somebody describe movie production as a controlled airplane crash.
That's what
you're crashing an airplane and then trying to control it.
Sometimes you crash before you get to the end, but then you have to pick up the pieces and keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Like start running.
Right.
You guys still got to get to the destination.
Exactly.
What, for you, is it – are we thinking about – scripted stuff, series stuff, documentary stuff, all of the above? I feel like in this new world order, you just do everything now, right?
That's what it feels like. I wrote a book called New World Order 2, by the way.
That's weird.
So you got to do it all.
50 years, there'll be a new world order.
I've put out documentaries, Century of War, Hollywood DC, both available online. I think Hollywood DC is fun because it gets into the political relationship of Washington and the military-industrial complex, CIA, with Hollywood films, media, TV, you name it. So it gets into that aspect. But yeah, like you said, you have to do it all. In my case, I am not just trying to follow my father's footsteps. I'm obviously doing my own work, and that encompasses acting, which is something my dad never – well, he's been in a couple of his movies and cameos, but never really pursued.
Yeah, it's always – I always feel like, you know, once you act enough, you kind of – can direct, I think. You're just there. You see how it works. You get the feeling for the flow, and then it becomes easy. Not easy, but I mean, everyone who's on a sitcom long enough eventually just directs an episode in season 8, you know, but it's funny that more directors aren't thinking about acting, or maybe they have a disdain for actors.
Well, it's funny if you think about it. Actually, a lot of the great directors, Woody Allen, I don't know if we can mention him anymore, but from Woody Allen going back to Orson Welles, I mean, there are a lot of great directors that were actors or vice versa, working, you know, hand in hand. Nowadays, you get like Ben Affleck and Clooney and others that are doing it. Sean Penn has done it. De Niro has done it. You just go through the list. Dennis Hopper with Easy Rider. I mean, it's actually more than we realize.
Do you, you must have grown up in, cocktail parties at your house when you were 11? I mean... it must have been just an insane murderer's row of like Hollywood artisan, or I don't know. Did your dad hang out with recognizable people?
Sure. I mean, my favorite actually was I was in love with Gina Davis when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, and she was over at the house one time for a meeting. So I was watching the Niners, 49ers game because my dad and I were big fans. So I was running into the living room to go tell him the Niners had scored. And, and I was so excited. And she was alone in there. He'd gone to his office to get some notes or something. And I was like, yeah, the Niners scored. And I was like, that's Gina Davis. And I was completely stunned. You know, here I'm in love
also,
with this
she's
woman.
She's like 6'1" or something.
Well, she was sitting down. but yeah, you know.
Yeah, I found her striking myself. So this thing has been around for a little while. Like you're right, everything takes years. Some takes multiple years, and then other stuff. But then all this setup, you know, what else is crazy too, Drew? It's like you worked for years to study and schooling and tests and everything else before you became a doctor.
Yeah.
But then what if you became a physician for 17 days?
After all that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's this crazy.
It's weird.
This crazy thing where it's like years and years and years, and then it happens, and then it's done. And then maybe something, maybe nothing.
We're going to find out, right? I mean, that's the excitement, actually. Right now, it's like the gift. We've built it. We've wrapped it. We've got it all, you know, with the bow tie and everything. And now you present it. And you're going to see the reaction of your audience, right? Some people love it. Some people are like, why'd you give me this? Tell Santa this is crap.
Is it going to be in the – what do they do now with the competitions all over the country? The movie
– The competitions?
The film festival.
I hope not at that point because then we're really in trouble because – no, not really.
That would have been in the past,
yeah, because we're coming out –
You would have done that previously.
We're coming out tomorrow, you know, tomorrow in, you know, select theaters in L.A., New York – you know, Dallas, places like this, but then it'll be on demand on iTunes, Amazon, all these VOD places. Yeah. So presumably, you know, you, your whole family, anyone that's into like martial arts cinema will want to watch this movie. That's what I'm counting on right now.
And by the way, we're pre-taping this, so it is last week. It is out.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it's all right. Sorry. Just this, I want people to know it's out
it's as out
we
there.
Speak.
It's out there.
Until tomorrow.
So it's not coming to the festival near you, actually. It's just coming to your home video box, however you watch movies on your phone, on your, I don't know, you know, in your brain, however you download it nowadays.
Again, FuryOfTheFistMovie.com.
It looks like fun.
It's nonstop action, and it's funny.
And it's politically incorrect, which is the most important thing.
How's now everybody has a different version of this with their dad. Are they watch? Does your dad watch your movies and comment? Does he try to coach? Does he try to edit? Is he completely dismissive? Oof. Where is he?
Wow. You know, I've edited his movies.
You have?
I worked as an editor on W and Untold History, which was an amazing, epic 10-part series he put out. So I actually worked on both of those, editing him, which was an interesting challenge. No, in the course of working with him, I did it behind the scenes for Alexander in 2004, which was an epic experience. I mean, we're on set with Colin Farrell, Angelina Jolie, Val Kilmer, you know, across three continents, Morocco, Thailand, England, shooting, you know, 90 days, and I'm getting to document this on camera and turning it into some documentaries. It was a great time. And I actually did my documentary was about him. It was this father-son relationship, as well as him as a director, as well as what motivated him as a person to want to make Alexander. It was like a lifelong dream. So I got to make that documentary called Fight Against Time. It's also available, I think, on online now. And so that was, you know, a journey of really just watching and being mentored by him. At the same time, I was almost as though, you know, you're supposed to kill your father. In a certain sense, this was me reimagining and re-editing him and being able to show the mirror back to him and basically see him so he could see himself through my eyes. So it's been an interesting process where like we've worked in these different capacities where he's acted. I've been an actor for him. He's directed me. I've edited his films. He's given me feedback as a writer on my movies. He'll give me criticisms, but it's like, it's a organic relationship, right? I mean, he keeps growing. He may not like this movie. I don't know. It's not ultimately, but it's not about him. I don't do it for him. I do it for myself and for my own sense of, at the end of the day, my own sense of self-worth. I have to look in the mirror when I'm, you know, an older man and say, this is my life and I own it. I can't do it for daddy, right?
Can't do it for daddy, Drew.
That's what you've always said.
That's what I've always said. I can do it for True Car. MSRP, what's that stand for? Some people know, but What does it really mean? Or same with invoice or list price or dealer price. It can be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your True Price is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car. Apples to apples, you lock in your price, you pick up your new ride, and it can be new or it can be used. Certified dealers set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So, when you're ready to buy new or used, you always go with True Car. Our own Chris Maxpato went there. I think Kalen went there as well from the Adam Carolla Galaxy of Stars. Visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states. It's yeah. True Car. The movie, Fury of the Fist. Website. Yeah, that's the movie. But I wanted people to head to the website, furyofthefistmovie.com. You can find out showtimes and VOD, video on demand, and all that kind of stuff as well. And also, you could probably shoot Sean a tweet. At watching Sean and follow up with all his projects and what he's got going on. Sean, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. I'm surprised. I thought this was Loveline. You've been asking me about sex the whole time.
Yeah, not quite.
That was the old Adam and Dr. Drew. Now we're evolved. We really just complain about our wives. It's awesome. Live stand-up, me, Aladdin Theater, June 9th. I'm shooting a special out there. Second show added, so you can check that out. Go to AdamCarolla.com. And speaking of websites, go to Chassis, two S's and a Y. Lots of movies we have there for you guys to check out. Drew?
Speaking of websites, go to DrDrew.com.
So, till next time, huh? Oh, RJ Bell. I forgot about that, sorry. RJ Bell, listen to his pod. He's on my show. He's a very funny guy. And learn a little something about sports and wagering. And do that at Podcast One. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Sean Stone and Dr. Drew saying mahalo.